When he entered the somewhat somber hall, the butler told him that they had gone into lunch. He gave one of the footmen his hat and stick and passed into the dining room.
"Late as usual, Harry," cried his aunt,
shaking her head at him. He invented a facile excuse, and having taken the vacant seat next to her, looked round to see who was there. Dorian bowed to him shyly from the end of the table, a flush of pleasure stealing into his cheek. Opposite was the Duchess of Harley, a lady of admirable good nature and good temper, much liked by everyone who knew her, and of those ample architectural proportions that in women who are not duchesses are described by contemporary historians as stoutness. Next to her sat, on her right, Sir Thomas Burton, a radical member of Parliament, who followed his leader in public life and in private life followed the best cooks, dining with the Tories and thinking with the Liberals, in accordance with a wise and well-known rule. The post on her left was occupied by Mr. Erskine of Treadley, an old gentleman of considerable charm and culture, who had fallen, however, into bad habits of silence, having, as he explained once to Lady Agatha, said everything that he had to say before he was 30. His own neighbour was Mrs. Vandeleur, one of his aunt's oldest friends, a perfect saint amongst women, but so dreadfully dowdy that she reminded one of a badly bound hymn book. Fortunately for him, she had on the other side Lord Fordal, a most intelligent middle-aged mediocrity, as bald as a ministerial statement in the House of Commons, with whom she was conversing in that intensely earnest manner which is the one unpardonable error, as he remarked once himself, that all really good people fall into, and from which none of them ever quite escape.
"We are talking about poor Dartmoor, Lord Henry," cried the Duchess, nodding pleasantly to him across the table. "Do you think he will really marry this fascinating young person?"
"I believe she has made up her mind to propose to him, Duchess."
"How dreadful!" exclaimed Lady Agatha. "Really, someone should interfere. I am told on excellent authority that her father keeps an American dry goods store," said Sir Thomas Burton, looking supercilious.
"My uncle has already suggested pork packing, Sir Thomas."
"Dry goods? What are American dry goods?" asked the Duchess, raising her hands in wonder and accentuating the verb.
"American novels," answered Lord Henry, helping himself to some quail. The Duchess looked puzzled.
"Don't mind him, my dear," whispered Lady Agatha. "He never means anything that he says."
"When America was discovered," said the radical member, and he began to give some wearisome facts. Like all people who try to exhaust a subject, he exhausted his listeners.
The Duchess sighed and exercised her privilege of interruption.
"I wish to goodness it never had been discovered at all," she exclaimed. "Really, our girls have no chance nowadays. It is most unfair."
"Perhaps, after all, America never has been discovered," said Mr. Erskine. "I myself would say that it had merely been detected."
"Oh, but I have seen specimens of the inhabitants," answered the Duchess vaguely. "I must confess that most of them are extremely pretty. And they dress well, too. They get all their dresses in Paris. I wish I could afford to do the same."
"They say that when good Americans die, they go to Paris," chuckled Sir Thomas,
who had a large wardrobe of humorous cast-off clothes.